And welcome back to the How to Podcast series. It's Dave with you. I hope you're doing awesome. I use a program called Audacity to do all my recording. I'm using it right now, and it is free, so you don't have to pay some expensive monthly fee to use this program. Free to download, links in the show notes. I've been using this for music production, recording, editing, all that for 20 plus years. So if you're looking at a recording platform and you're like, I don't know if I can do this, I would love to jump on a screen share with you over Zoom. We'll pull up Audacity on your end or my end, and I'll walk you through all of the basics about getting set up on this platform, and then you just got to go practice. That's it. It's like learning how to drive a standard manual transmission car. You can read about it, you can watch videos about it, but you'll never learn how to operate a clutch and a gear shift until you jump behind the wheel. So I would love to be your student, driver, teacher through Audacity and help you with this. Now, there's podcasts. When you do a search on Audacity and podcast, you get something that has nothing to do with Audacity and not much to do with podcasting, but a lot of other stuff. And so I thought, well, you know what? Let's do something specific to Audacity and podcasting to help you. Now, I'm not going to go through like stuff that is visually hard to explain as you're listening in an audio format, because that's just overwhelmingly frustrating, because I have no idea what you're talking about without seeing it on in front of me or on the screen. So without getting into those kinds of details, which again, I can do with you, howtopodcast.ca, jump in my calendar and let me know that we're talking about Audacity and I'll get ready for you. And we'll do that on the screen so you can actually see what we're talking about. But I've got seven things I want to chat about. Things you can use Audacity for or while you're recording on Audacity to make your podcast editing and recording life way easier and way more fun. So is this all about how to use Audacity to podcast? It's a guide for podcasters using this free recording tool here on the How to Podcast series. You ready? Oh, but before we get into that, here's this.
And now, it is time for Dave to share a most excellent rant on something that he just won't stop talking about. Please allow Dave to share his thoughts on this particular subject so that his glorious wife Jennifer may have a moment of rest from Dave going on, and on, about this topic. Here is Dave and his rant for this week.
So, that was made in Audacity. So, I downloaded the music from storyblocks.com. It's a great website for music, by the way. And that's like a triumphant king's entrance or something is what that one's called. And then the voiceover was done by voicemaker.in. And you can give it a script and pick a voice and it will read it back to you. And it's amazing because then you're not podcasting alone by yourself. Got all these other podcasting tools out there to help you sound great. But I have a rant for you. And here's my rant. And if you hear people in podcasting saying that a free tool is a bad idea because free goes out of business and free's a terrible business plan, I have one thing to say back in response to these gurus who continually spout this overused and I just can't stand it because these same people who tell you to never use a free resource like Audacity also then use Facebook, which is free. And they also use Instagram, which is free. And then YouTube, free. LinkedIn, free. On and on we go. So you can't have it one way over here and then a different way over there. That's called a lack of integrity. So if you use any free resource like social media and then bash a free tool like Audacity because it's free, or Spotify for podcasters because it's free, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Okay, so let's just stop there. So that's my little rant over with, thankfully. And we'll jump back in. So again, if you hear anybody in any of the Facebook groups on a podcast telling you that a free tool should be avoided. A free hosting service should be avoided. Let them know. We'll meet on Facebook and you can share your feelings. Okay? Yeah, that should do it. Now back to what we're talking about. So like I said, I've been using Audacity for a long, long time. And one thing I would like to say off the bat, you might hear me say that it's easy to do this or simple to do that. Again, it's simple and easy because I've been using this for 20, 25 years. So in my mind, I'm telling you it's simple to use. And if you've never even downloaded the program or seen it in person, you've never played with it, it's going to seem overwhelming. So as I say words that might come out of my mouth, I say simple, easy. I understand that for someone who's never used it, that might not be true. So again, I'm volunteering to help you and work with you in Audacity so that you can get caught up. And I can show you some great tricks where you can learn and break that learning curve really, really down into small pieces. Give you the confidence to do this. You can practice. The beautiful thing with Audacity is you can't break anything. So if you get to a point where you're like, oh, this sounds nothing like I wanted, you just hit delete and start over again. It's really a great way to practice. And one thing I was sharing with one of my listeners on the podcast with Scarlett, hi Scarlett, is that you don't need Wi-Fi connection to record into Audacity. So you don't have to be connected to the internet. You can record through your laptop on Audacity, out in the truck, out in the field, or at the coffee shop, anywhere you want, and Audacity will work for you with no Wi-Fi connection. So all these other tools like Zoom and Riverside and StreamYard and all these other ones require you to be connected to the internet. Audacity does not. So in that alone, you can record anytime you want. And if you're a solo podcaster, I tell you that Audacity is probably the easiest way to record your voice and be able to do all the edits, do the music you heard at the beginning of the show, throw in the music like I did for my rant, and then the outro music you'll hear at the end, all within Audacity. It's got some great tools built into it, and I'd love to help you how to podcast.ca. Enough plugging, Dave. Get to it. All right, there's 7 things I want to chat about in and around the Audacity to podcast as a tool for you to use. And first is I would suggest to you when you're using Audacity is to create a master for every episode that you will be doing into the future. A master file that has everything you need for your next episode. So my master file for the How to Podcast series and my other 7 shows that I do, it's in a file folder for the How to Podcast series. And it lives outside of my other file folders. So I'll kind of go behind the scenes here while we're doing this. And in my How to Podcast folder, I'm opening it right now. I have it on my external drive. So everything is living over there. I also have it backed up to Google. That's kind of how I do my stuff. But in my How to Podcast folder, where I keep everything, I have my YouTube thumbnails, which I create through Canva, and I keep them per episode number. I have stuff for my website. I have voice messages that you send me. Thank you. Through my SpeakPipe, I keep those here as well. Any promo art that I have my a folder for my MP3s, which is my final version of my podcast that will be going to my Spotify for Podcaster host. That's where I keep all of those. I have stuff for our meetups, which we do at meetup.com. I have information for that under my How to Podcast folder. I have any of the ads that people send me where I can put them into the show, an ad that promotes another podcast. I have a folder for that. And then I have one that's called Audacity Files. And in Audacity Files, I have all of the Audacity files that I use to create my podcast. And for me, I have them all numbered by the numbering system. I use E for episode. And then I have a 3-digit number right now because I'm in the 300s, 400s right now. So E181. And then I have co-host, and Maya Fields was on to talk about an audience of one, your podcast, why, and turn your podcast into a book. That's episode 181. So I can then sort them by numerical order. I can sort them by date, all of that stuff. So that's kind of how I do it, so I can visually see where I'm at. That's how I keep track of my information for my show. So that's it. But outside in my main folder for the How to Podcast series, I have what I call my master template. I have a master template for this episode. I also have a master template for the Daily Dave, because in the Daily Dave, I have music that plays behind me, and they're shorter episodes, a little different format than this. So I have different music and different assets to create that episode. So I have two different master templates. So every time I go to record a new episode, I'm not starting with a blank screen in front of me. I open my master template, I rename it and save it as a new file numerically with all the other episodes that are coming out. And I have my master template is just my backup. So what's in my master template, Dave? What do you got in there? So for me in my master template right now, I have my intro music, which I have on the far left of my screen. And then on the far right of my screen, I have this big gap, like, I don't know, 40 minutes of nothing. And at the very far right of my screen, I can see the outro music. So everything's there for me to use as well. I have a blank track, a mono blank track with nothing in it, is the second track on my screen. And that's where I record my episode. So when I do my recording, I actually have the music behind me as I hit record, and that's just living in my master template. So I never have to go look for it. I never have to go find it. I don't have to start from scratch. I use the framework for every episode, and that's why they all sound the same. And then a third track below is, as you heard before, my daily rant, or my Dave's rant with the music and the voiceover. So I have that. And if I don't need it, I just hit the little X on the top left corner of each track. There's a little X, which will delete that track completely. If I don't need it, I get rid of it. Or I click the mute button just below the X that would delete the track. There's a mute button and a solo button. The mute button will just make it quiet. And when I export, it won't include the mute channel as well because it's been muted. Only the channels that are blue on my screen or active or soloed, our non-muted tracks will actually go to the recording. So that's kind of how I have it. So create a master template. What do you have as intro music, outro music, any assets that you use all the time? So if you have the sound of a bell or a whoosh or a swipe or a ding or something that indicates that you're moving to the next topic, whatever your asset is, keep those assets together. Create your episode, and then delete any tracks you don't need or you didn't use in your episode in the future. Rename and save it as a new file name so your master template just remains the same episode to episode. It's always there. You're never starting from scratch. You always have a foundation for your next episode. Create a master template. Save it as master template and put it into your folder outside of your main folder. So you know where it is all the time. That's my first step for you, suggestion-wise, for you as you record your podcast. Again, if you don't know what this looks like, reach out to me. Let's have a chat. Number two is all around using Audacity while you are connected to the internet and you are recording through Zoom or Riverside, whatever you're using, that you can actually use Audacity in the background as a great tool. This is number two. So when you use Zoom, Riverside, Squadcast, StreamYard, on and on and on it goes. You're recording online with your guest, or you're recording online by yourself. One thing I suggest for you is to have another backup of yourself. Now, you can also get a backup of your guest. That's going to cost you money for the equipment and things like that. But a simple thing to do for you as a host of your own podcast is don't rely, and I've talked about this before, don't rely on the recording of yourself through Zoom coming back to you as you're recording from your microphone, because it's going to be squashed and all that stuff. Use your mic and record yourself in the moment while you're on Zoom or whatever platform you're on as your main recording, and ignore what you get from Zoom. Make that be your backup and record locally right into Audacity while you're on the screen with your guest. There's another bonus, which is number 3. If you do use Audacity during your recording with your guest online, there's a special little bonus hack that will help you to stay organized and on time. That's point number 3 coming up. But what I do is I always record myself with Audacity open when I record a guest. And what I do to make sure that I've hit record on my end into Audacity when I'm recording over the internet is I, before I even bring my guest into the Zoom room or onto the platform, I hit record right away. I say the name of my guest and the date. And then I can see at the top of the screen, my green level is moving back and forth. I'm not super, super loud. I'm not into the yellows and reds of being way too loud as my microphone. So I know my sweet spot. And I kind of shoot for that every time. And I can see it while I'm talking to you right now. The green is perfect. I'm not really super loud, which is awesome. It's going to make my editing way easier at the end. So I hit record. I say the name of my guest. So it's JJ Hawley, How to Podcast, and the date. And the reason I do that is when I save my file at the end, I can hit play on any podcast, any episode that I've recorded and hear the date and the name of my guest and the podcast name. It's already right at the beginning of the recording, so I don't have to try to figure out who this is on my recording. Just a simple little mic check. And I leave it recording. And what I do is I do something to the screen that gives me an extra bonus tool. But I would suggest for you, anytime you record over the internet, is don't trust the file that's sent back to you by the platform that you use as your podcast recording from your microphone. Just record yourself right into Audacity and you have your own audio version right from your microphone, right into your computer or laptop. It's great. So please try that. It's a great little hack, and you get a better recording of yourself, not dependent on the internet. Works really, really well. So number 3, which is a sub tip from number 2, is to minimize your screen while you're recording into Audacity when you're on with your guest. It really does help because you get a little bonus thing that'll keep you on time. Early days in my podcasting recording, when I first starting out, I would lose track of how long my guest and I had been talking. I know I have about a 45-minute window with my guest, roughly, but I didn't know if I was at minute 32, 26, 41, because we were into the conversation. And I'd watch my clock, and I'd be having to do math, because we started at 3:32, and now it's 4:58, and I'm like, how long have we gone? Right, so I'm doing math, which was distracting. I thought maybe I'll buy a stopwatch or a clock that keeps track of my time, but then I would forget to press the start time when I hit record with my guest, and then that seemed awkward because I was distracted by looking at this clock, and then that didn't work out well. So because I use Audacity while I'm recording with my guest online through Zoom, Riverside, etc., is I would hit record and then I would minimize it off my screen and it's gone. It's recording in the background, but I don't see it. And then I thought, wait a minute, what if I minimized it by using the little box icon in the top right corner of my screen? I can see a complete minimize. I can see X, which is going to kill this recording. And then there's that little box. What if I use a little box? And what I do is I grab the corners and I make my screen, the Audacity screen, smaller on my desktop, on my screen. And all I do is highlight my clock. So right now, as I'm looking at my clock, it says 19 minutes and 19 seconds, 21, 22, 23. So I can see a number, which is keeping me in time. And I know that I've been recording now roughly for 19 minutes and 28 seconds. So I don't need to have a supplemental clock on my desk, forgetting to hit start, none of that. I'm already have a clock built into my recording software. And again, even if I'm on Zoom or Riverside, I have this little clock that I can make small enough and put somewhere on the screen so that I can arrange my screen. So what I do when I look at my screen, if you were on my show, is on the left-hand side of my screen, I kind of split it in half. I'll have your website, I'll have your information, your book, whatever we're talking about up there on the screen. And then the other half of my screen, the top right corner of my screen, will be my Audacity clock. As I'm recording, I can see the number. That's in the top right-hand corner of my screen. And then you on Zoom, which is what I use, is minimized to fit on the screen with everything else that's there. And you're just a small portion of it off to the right-hand side of my screen. So I can see everything I need when I'm recording. And I'll put a screenshot version of this up on social media, on my How to Podcast, on Instagram, for example, so you can see what my screen looks like. But that's kind of how I do it, so that I can see your information on the left. I can see my clock in the top right corner of the screen. And then you and I are recording through Zoom in the bottom right corner of my screen. That's kind of how I do it. So use Audacity as a time clock to keep you on track when you're recording, so you know that it's been 21 minutes and 3 seconds since I started recording this episode. It's right there. It's so easy, and it's a great tool to have. Number 4 is to use a macro manager for any repeatable steps that you do in your podcast. So when I love Microsoft Excel, I've been using that in business. I've worked in corporate offices for PetSmart, Walmart, and in Canada, we have a chain, a grocery chain called Sobeys. So I'd be in there, and we lived every day in Excel because that's what we did a lot of our reporting in and everything. And I remember having one person on my team who was an Excel expert. And he came in one day and he saw me doing the same repeatable steps in Excel. I would open the file, do this, format the column, change the color, blah, blah, blah. Like the same steps repeatedly. And he looked at me and went, "Would you like one button that does all of those things you just did?" I'm like, "Yes, I would love one button that did the repeatable steps that I do every time I open this file, which I do multiple times per day, per week. That would be awesome." And he showed me the wonderful world of macros. And I found macros here as well in Audacity, which do repeatable steps with one click. You set it up kind of like, imagine somebody going into a music recording studio and recording something. They go in, they record everything, and now they have something from beginning, middle, and end. They walk away with a recording. And a macro is basically a recording of you doing the same thing over and over and over again in the same order, the same steps from beginning, middle, and end. So for me, I use this all the time as my editing flow, and it's all under your tools and macro manager is what it's called. You'll see at the time of recording, you'll see plugin manager at the top, macro manager, apply macros, and then a bunch of other stuff. So if you go into macro manager, you can actually go in there and see all of the different things that you can click as options. And I basically do the same repeatable steps every time I do my edits. When I'm done, I boost up the audio, I fix the bass and treble, I normalize, which makes everything normal. And that's kind of like some of the basics that I do for every audio track. So instead of doing them one by one every single time, I can do them all together in a group by using a macro. And you're like, "Dave, this sounds complicated." It's a little bit when you don't know, understand, or have never used a macro. Yeah, it's going to take a little bit of learning. But once you've figured it out, you can click one button, do multiple steps at once, and go grab yourself a coffee. Come back and it's all done. Game changer. It's great. I love it. So that's all under the Tools tab on your Audacity platform. Underneath Tools, it'll be Macro Manager to set it up. And then every time you want to run it, you just save your macro. Mine's called Dave's. I go under Apply Macro, click it, click Dave's, click on the track, and off I go. It does everything for me. So use the tools that are built into Audacity to speed up your editing flow and give yourself some time back, especially if you're doing repeatable steps. Use the macro manager within Audacity to save you a few steps. Number 5 is all around having a file naming convention and why that's important. We talked earlier about how my file structure is set up for my episodes, and then I'm storing them on an expandable external drive that helps my computer to not bog down. My computer's really old. I'm going to be getting another one soon. But yeah, so I have everything on an expandable external drive. That helps me, keeps everything off my desktop. But I go through and I make sure that I name my files and name my file folders and my file names in a consistent way so I can find stuff. Do you have that drawer in your kitchen where everything that you've ever found lying around the house goes there, and you have buttons and things that you're like, I have no idea what this is. I'm going to keep it just in case. But that junk drawer, our file naming for our podcast can become a little bit of a junk drawer when we don't know where stuff is and we can't find anything. So frustrating when that adds to your time frame during your editing. So by simply having a simple file naming convention for each of your episodes, it's going to make it so easy for you to stay on top and give you the tools to remember where you put everything. So for me, as I go into my How to Podcast folder on my external drive, I can sort through my files under the How to Podcast folder by date, by type, by size, and also you can sort by file name. So for me, I have my bonus episodes, simply called bonus, and then I have a message from Rachel in Australia, for example. Then I have my numbered episodes, starting at episode 01 all the way through to episode, at this point, episode 247. And those are all my numbered episodes. I have the E and then the episode number, so E246. And then I have the name of the episode as well, which is the episode title, which will show up in my hosting site and on YouTube and everywhere else. So I have all those so I can sort them by name, grouping all of my episodes together. A lot of people are going to tell you not to use episode numbers in your title. For me, it's what works for me in my end. Makes my workflow easier. And for my audience, they really don't. I haven't heard anybody tell me to stop because it's annoying them. But for me, it works best in my flow. So do what works for you. If you don't like episode numbers in your titles, great. You can put them at the end. Doesn't make it searchable for me, sortable in my files on my end to have the episode number at the end. But you do whatever works for you, right? This is your podcast. So I'm just telling you how I do mine. So I have my bonus episodes, I have my numbered episodes, and then I have my Daily Daves. And those don't have episode numbers because they're all bonus episodes. So for me, my Daily Daves are named the Daily Dave - podcasting tips - and then the name of my episode. The reason I have podcasting tips in the name is because podcasting tips is a searchable term on YouTube, and I want to be found for great podcasting tips. So that's why it's right in the name of my show, in my episode. And that's how I have them all named. I have my trailer at the very bottom of the list, and my in kind of a couple oddball episodes that I did outside of the naming convention. So if I'm looking for a Daily Dave episode, I can go into my Daily Daves, I can search by date, and I can find the episode really quickly. If I'm looking for my episode numbers, I can see that I haven't missed an episode all the way through from episode 1 to episode 247, because numerically on my screen, I can see them all. Come up with what works for you as a file naming convention, meaning named similar, so it's easy to find, sortable, it's all there on your screen, and you know what you're doing. The other little tip that I do is I have a clipboard for every podcast that I do, all 8 of them, and I have the dates already pre-written out into the future so that I know, because I release episodes on the How to Podcast series 3 times a week, I have the dates for the 3 times per week leading all the way up right now into the end of May. So I already know that if I record episode 250, it's going to go out on May 17th. And I can record it and preload it to my host for May 17th without having to do episode 246, 247, 248, 249. I can just jump to episode 250 and preload it and then fill in the gaps. And what I do is once I upload it to my hosting site, then I just highlight it and I know that it's done. So for right now, as I look up my list on my clipboard for the How to Podcast series, episode 238, which is going out on April 19th, episode 240 on April 24th, and 241, which is going on April 26th, those ones haven't been loaded to my hosting site yet. So they're just finishing editing. They'll be going up soon. So I can quickly look at my sheet, and I know everything that's highlighted has been uploaded. Anything that's not highlighted is being edited or hasn't been recorded yet. That's how I keep organized. So I already know all my dates. I know everything's done. And it's a little behind the scenes of what it looks like on my end. So make sure you have a good filing naming convention for your podcast. It's going to help you to stay organized and to know where you're at with your releases. The next one would be all around your recording volume in Audacity. When you're recording your podcast, you want to make sure, again, there's a little level meter at the top of my screen for my microphone input. And there's a little slider that you can move. It looks like a little box. Right now, my recording level set at 76% while I'm recording this. It's not super loud. I can tell by when I look at it. If I speak louder, the green level for my mic goes a little higher into the yellow and reds. And that's a warning for me to back off the mic a little bit or not talk so loud or reduce the recording level of my microphone. I've had people who have had their microphone recording level set to like 30%. And they're like, wow, that's really, really quiet. So you want to make sure that your green recording level is not going into the yellows, not going into the reds, because that's danger. You want to have a healthy green recording level for your mic input. For me, it's at the top of my screen, right beside the share audio button. And that's how I keep my monitoring my volume level as I'm recording. I project when I talk. So when I listen to other podcasters, they're using different types of mics than I use. My microphone is a $50 microphone, US, from Amazon, $80 in Canada, same mic. And it's on a boom stand, similar to what you'd see a singer have up on stage, that they would take the mic off of and set aside as they sing. That's a microphone stand. It's not attached to my desk. And it's separate away from my desk that I can bring forward. And I'm talking past my microphone. So I know that if I put this microphone up to my mouth, like some people tell you to do, it's going to blow the headphones right off of you. Because I project when I talk. I talk louder when I'm speaking in the microphone. So for me, I found my sweet spot. I know where it fits. I can sit down, hit record, and every episode basically sounds the same because I have the same setup episode to episode. So keep your eye on that metered level at the top of the screen, making sure that your levels are good. They're always in the green, never yellow, never red. Keep them green, keep them healthy. It's a great way to make sure your podcast sounds great. The last one is all around your exporting settings when you're done recording your podcast and what they're supposed to look like. Okay, that's next. So when you're done recording your podcast, you're all done assembling it, everything's done, your outro music's done, everything's finished, you save it, save your work, do that often, but then also you can go in and you can export your audio. So under File, you can click on to Export Audio right there. It's underneath Save Project. And what I like to do is I have my settings so that my episodes sound the same episode to episode. So when you look at your export audio screen, you're going to see at the top your file name. This is what you've named your file, obviously. You can see where you're saving to when you export. So you can always change that if you want to. For me, I have it set to my desktop. So all my files always go to my desktop. I never have to go looking in file folders. If you want to change that, just click the browse button. You'll see to the right, and you can change the destination where you want your episodes that go out as MP3s when you're done, where you want them to go. You can click your format, MP3. That's how you can select it there. And then you can see your audio options. Now, you're going to hear a lot of opinions on this. My current settings right now at the time of recording, I have it set to stereo because I do have music at the beginning and end of my podcast. Some of the podcasting hosting sites will automatically change any stereo recording into mono. So it doesn't really matter how much you do there. Some of the hosting sites are going to change it anyway. I have my sample rate set at 4100 hertz. I have my bit rate as constant, and there's a reason for that. You want to have a constant bit rate. That is something that's highly recommended by great podcasters. And so I've just followed their lead on that. If you want more information about that, reach out to me. I'll explain it more. And then you can set your quality level. I have it to set to export the range of the entire project. And then there's a little button in the bottom left corner that says edit metadata. And this is kind of a little bonus tip before we leave today, but your metadata is really important. It is the information that's baked into your MP3 file, into the audio from your podcast. And when you click on edit metadata, it opens up another screen, which should have something on it. If it doesn't, I would suggest that you do this going forward for the rest of your podcast journey, because there's some great information that should be baked into your episodes. So for me, I have the artist name under a tag, and there's a value. If that's blank, put in the name of your podcast. So mine says the How to Podcast series. I have track title. That's the episode title. That's the title of the podcast. So me, it has the episode number. It has the title of the episode. Then I have a blank for album title. I don't have anything in there. Track number, I use the episode number again. And then I have the year, obviously, 2024. For genre, I just put podcast tips. I just put that in there. And then under comments, I have my website address, just the howtopodcast.ca. The other thing you can do is you can actually add in an image for your podcast, your square image that would show up on your player. You can actually bake it into your MP3 file so that if somebody downloads your podcast outside of the internet onto their device, when they press play, they'll have all this information that's in the metadata. It won't be a blank thing on your screen. It'll actually have this information that we just mentioned, and it'll have the image of your podcast. So it's kind of a nice little thing. Not everybody needs to do this. It's not mandatory, but it's a nice little bonus. If you're on a plane or a train or whatever, and you don't have access to Wi-Fi, no data, you can still see the podcast artwork. You can still see the podcast information, episode title, the year, the website. It's all right inside of the MP3 file. It's a great little tip. So again, that's through the edit metadata tab, bottom left corner under your export audio. The other thing you can do under your metadata tab in your tags is you can save the information under the template function at the bottom of the screen. You'll see a little save. You can save the information for your podcast and then just update it episode to episode with a new name and episode number. The rest will stay the same. So again, if you have questions around metadata, we'll do an episode about that in the future in more detail. But again, that's just kind of like the rings of a tree if you cut the tree down. It's all the information inside of the tree. It's all the information inside of the audio. It's great to have, nice for your listeners, a nice little bonus. It kind of sets you apart from some of the other podcasters. So keep that in mind. So again, Audacity is free. Free for you to download. Free for you to use. You'll never pay for it. It is used by a lot of podcasters. You can pay for a monthly fee and then go with something a little bit more robust with a lot more options and things like that. But I find that the options that they provide for you don't add any value to me as a podcaster, really. So I don't really feel like I'm missing out on much. I don't have the fear of missing out by not using Adobe or all these other ones. There's too much in there. I don't really need that for what I'm using in podcasting, especially for an audio podcast. It's a lot of bells and whistles. Not really for me. Descript is another tool that people use a lot. It's more video-based, more script-based for editing compared to Audacity. Audacity, I'm not seeing any of my words on the screen when I'm recording. And I'm just looking at wavelengths, the little mountains and valleys as I speak on the screen in a visual context. That's what it looks like on the screen. So it's what I like, what I use. Again, I don't think I'm ever going to navigate away from Audacity to all these other platforms. Again, the cost. And B, it's just, this is what I've been using forever. So if you're looking for a free way to record your podcast, it works on Apple. It does also work on Windows. So everybody's covered. It's still free for everyone. And you're like, Dave, can you just give me some tips and pointers on how to do this? Jump on howtopodcast.ca, jump into my calendar, set up some time, put in the calendar comment section that we want to talk Audacity, and let's get on and we'll screen share, show you how to do it, let you take over the driver's seat and try a few things. It's really pretty straightforward once you've done it a few times. I think you'll really enjoy it, and it's going to save you a lot of time and money and not having to hire somebody to do this for you. So it's a win for everyone, I think, and I'd love for you to try it. And you're like, well, I'm not sure I can do it. Put it this way. I'm sure I can show you. How's that? Does that give you confidence? Because I think that's all you need. Howtopodcast.ca. Thanks for being here. And thanks for having the audacity to podcast and using Audacity to podcast here on the How to Podcast series. Take care, everybody. Hey, thanks for being here on the How to Podcast series. Glad to have you on the show with us listening in. I hope they're finding value in the podcast. I hope they're finding something that helps you with your show, helps you with the tools and the information from these amazing guest co-hosts through our Daily Daves and these solo episodes. The variety of what we're doing here on the podcast is all designed for you so that you can get the tools you need to create your podcast and keep going with your show. That's why we're here. That's why I'm doing this. And I'm glad you're here finding value in this. If you would like to do a little bit more than just be a listener, if you want to do community with podcasters, we have a thing called our meetup on meetup.com. You can come find us and there'll be a link on our website at howtopodcast.ca and you can come and join in on our meetup. Instead of just being a listener, you could actually participate and come in and join other podcasters just like you. At your stage, at your level, where you're at right now. And then other podcasters who are maybe a little further down the road, who can learn from you and you can learn from them. And we host these meetups on a regular basis. Again, go to howtopodcast.ca and you'll find all the information there. We'd love for you to come join us at our next meetup. The only thing we need at our next meetup is you. You're the only thing missing from all of this. So consider joining our meetups. Again, they're totally free. On a regular basis, all through howtopodcast.ca. And I'd love to hear more from you about your podcast as well. There's a SpeakPipe link on howtopodcast.ca. Leave a message. I'd love to hear about you and your show and how we can work together to get your message into the world. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And thank you for sharing the show with another podcaster that you're like, hey, I think you'd really like this episode. Go ahead, share the episode. And let's get more podcasters on the mic. Thanks for listening.